to him. And I want to give you a couple of verses of scripture. And I don't want you to stand. I want you to listen tonight. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Y'all know the chapter. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, right? Right? And that then he reiterated that again, verse number 5, about being born of water and of spirit. Then he said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Then he said, verse number 8, listen, verse number 8, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Is that right? And he said, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So am I to understand that that's really dealing with the Spirit of God's work in our life, bringing us to salvation? I believe that. So how strong does God have to deal with us to bring us to salvation? So how, what mph, mile per hour, does a wind have to be blowing to say it's blowing? Can a gentle breeze across my sweaty brow that's hardly measurable, is it blowing? When a tornado or a hurricane comes through, is it really blowing? But are they both not blowing? Brother Richard's testimony tonight, in essence, was saying, I'm stubborn, hard, and the wind had to blow really tough to get me in. And some of you young people, I mean, if it works right, you come under the sound of the gospel as a young person, and you get saved as a young person. You don't feel the powerful wind blowing like Richard did. But it's still blowing. It's still blowing. It's still blowing. And he must blow. He must blow. He must work. Look what Jesus said. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The Spirit must work to bring me in. The Spirit has to work to bring me in. I mean, must work. And if He doesn't work, then we have something we call salvation without the Savior. Is that right?
Yeah.
And let me give you one other verse. I'm going to give you several. And I'm not going to really preach. I'm going to give you these and I'm out of the way. I want you to turn your Bible to Colossians, if you would. Chapter number 1, Colossians 1, and listen, if you would, to verses number 12 and 13, 14, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And this is the salvation experience, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look here now. look here, don't teach your eye off of it. But verse 13, who hath delivered us. But you're on that. Mark it. Who hath delivered us? Pastor, come here a moment. See that word delivered? Somebody said, that's a charismatic term, Brother Woods. We don't use that one. It's a Bible word. It's a Bible word. God said, you have delivered us from the power of darkness. When you get born again, saved by God's grace. God, it's not just saying I get in, but it's God delivering you from something. Delivering you from sin. Delivering you from an ungodly lifestyle. Yes? Look at the word delivered. I'm going to give you this illustration. I may have shown this here before, but I want you to see this. Here's what the word deliver means. The root word for deliver means to tear out. When God saves me, He tears me out of the body of sin. He tears me out. I'm delivered from the body of sin. I'm delivered from wickedness. I'm delivered from vows. Here's the delivered part. And the delivered part, put it back together like it was. No matter what you do, tape it, staple it, glue it, try to make it look like it used to, but it will never look like that again. You can never put it back again. Never. Here's why. God delivers us from the body of sin, and you can never fit in again. Oh, professors of religion that can go back and fit in have never been delivered. Never been delivered. Never been delivered. Never been delivered. That's exactly right. You can't fit no more. Have you been delivered? Have you been delivered? Would you turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 20? And here's what happens to those who have never been delivered. Look at it. I'm just reading it, not preaching it. Here's what God said. Verse 11. John said, I saw a great white throne. Wow. Can you picture that now? A great white throne. And Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. That means the presence of this person on the throne is so awesome. The heaven and earth fled away. Couldn't find a place to hide. Here I am, religious stiff-necked. Yeah, I know God. Yeah, but I've lived in sin and wickedness. I'm not afraid of God. What? You're not afraid of God? Of God, the Bible said the heaven and earth fled away when they saw His face. And you're not in reverence to all of that. Look what it said. Whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there was found no place for him. Then John said, I saw the dead. Now that's not everybody that's died. That's those that have never been born again and come out of the deadness of sin. Now I saw the dead, small and great, little big, white and black, yellow, brown, midgets and tall people, it doesn't make any difference. God said, some all. Great, stand before God. And notice this, and God said the books were open. That's plural. The books were open. And then another book was opened. That's a singular book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. Which means God has got a pretty accurate record of what's in here. And what's in here, what this does, where my feet walk, he's got a pretty accurate record of daylight hours and dark hours. He's got a good record of when nobody's looking and when everybody's looking. Got a pretty accurate record. And he said there were judges out of that record book of the book of works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, woman, boy, girl, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why did he have the book of life there? He had the books to record it. What's here? What's here? What's here? Where the feet's gone? He's got the books that record all that. But why was the book of life there? Do you not reckon it just might be that the book of life was at this great last judgment? So when the individual comes by, you can see where your name could have been. You could see where it could have been. Where it could have been. If only I had. If only I'd listened. If only I'd have paid attention. I'll tell you, buddy. I've been this a long time. Now I have seen people in churches when God started dealing do everything under the sun. I've seen them pinch their babies to make their babies start crying so they could run out. I've seen them jump and run. I've seen them grab their cell phone out and go to texting even when God starts dealing with them. Someday that book will be seen there. That's where it could have been. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. Let me ask you a question, and I'm out of the way. Is the Lord stretching His hand to anybody in this building tonight? Is God really stretching His hand? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a smart guy. When I walked this service tonight, there was something different about it. I mean, the very atmosphere is different in this meeting tonight. And it's not just the normal preachy meeting. Matter of fact, I had a whole different message to preach tonight, whole different one. But is Jesus the Lord stretching out His hand to you tonight so He can deliver you from the body of sin? Amen. I know what it's like to make a profession of faith as a young kid. I know what it's like. I probably told this here before, but I don't want nobody to judge your experience with mine. But when my dear preacher had us in Bible school, he had zeal was bringing him to want us to get saved. He brought us on the stage and he prayed for us. He laid his hands on us. He said, "Do you want to be saved?" "Yes, yes." And he had laid his hands on these kids and he'd pray for them. And they'd say, "You're saved." They said, "Oh, yes." He came to me and my good old granddaddy kept telling me, "Son, when you get saved, you're going to know it." That was his old country way of letting you know that when you get saved by God's grace, you're going to know God's done something for you. Well, Brother Roberts laid his hand on my head and prayed for me. I said, "Yes, I want to be saved." He prayed for me and I'm saying, "Lord," Papa said, "I know." I said, "No, sir, didn't get saved." He said, "Let's try it again. Try it again. You know, at first you don't succeed. Try again." He laid his hands on my head. And I'm just a kid. But I'm smart enough to know if I don't get the right answer, this thing could go on a long time. So I gave him the right answer. But as a teenager, 14 years of age, God the Holy Ghost brought me in. He tore me out. He tore me out of the body of sin. And though I'm like a lot, I tried to fit back in. Never fit in. Never could fit back in. Is he stretching his hand to you? Is he reaching out to you tonight? Let's bow our heads for prayer. I'm done. I'm going to tell you, you better not look at your buddy next to you. You better not think about your friend that's in the back. But you better realize that what you've got in your body, God said, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" God lets me know the most valuable possession that's within my body is of more value to God than the entire ball of earth. Is he stretching his hand to you tonight? Dear Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to take absolute full control, Father, of this meeting. We're not trying to do anything without trying to sense your guiding hand and to sense, Lord, what you'd have us do. And I want to ask you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit would, Lord, take the things that have already been said throughout the night and the things that will be said, and Lord, bring honor and glory to your name by working in someone's heart and life. And Lord, I'm not someone who can see people's hearts. And Lord, really all my best is I just have graduated guesses. But I'm going to pray tonight that Lord, if in your sovereignty, Lord, you are singling someone out tonight to speak to them. And Lord, to give them the opportunity to be torn out of the wickedness of sin, to be changed by the power of God. Would you pour out, Lord, an extended amount of mercy and grace upon them to give them the courage they need to say, "Yes, it's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord." Father, thou dost know the need, and we'll honor you for whatever you do now. Let's have you, and just keep your heads bowed just a moment. Pastor will be coming. But is it you? Is God? And I'm not saying God's speaking to anybody. I just know God wouldn't give me liberty to go the way I was thinking about going. But is it you? Are you the one that the Holy Spirit is kind of nudging and pulling at?